Welcome to the best of the RSN Breakfast Club. Here's a little bit of what we did. Take a listen.
I wonder if Lizzie Watson would have known that. She'd be a Sex and the City sort of fan, I'm sure. One of the stars of Australian Diamonds in New Zealand getting ready for the Constellation Cup. Liz, good morning.
Good morning, and I can confirm no idea what you guys are talking about.
Do you not know Melrose Place?
I've actually never watched Sex and the City. I'm probably one of the
rarities. You never watched Sex and the City? What about Melrose Place?
No.
Well, this is very, no, very unsettling.
Absolutely.
The hype that was happening.
We're very unsettled about this, Liz. So we're just going to have to talk shop here because I don't know where to go elsewhere.
She was Brooke in Melrose Place.
She was Brooke, right? Yeah. Okay, nice work. Yeah. Hey, Lizzie, how have you gone in the build-up to this Constellation Cup series? It kicks off, the games kick off on March 2, so you've got a couple of weeks, or about, well, you've got 8 days or so up your sleeve to get involved. What's quarantine been like?
Good. We are currently day 8, but who's counting, right? So the first few days were just pretty in our rooms, obviously not being able to leave. Then we were able to go down to the hotel gym for a few sessions. And then 2 days ago, we actually got to leave to go to the courts and back. So we're heading off to training soon. And training has definitely become the highlight of the day. We spend about 3 to 4 hours there, have a bit of time outside. And do our training and then come back to our room. So it's been different, but we're managing.
I've seen you on the socials doing some activity. I imagine it's just trying to avoid boredom as much as anything else. How difficult is it to try and get moving within a little 4x2 sort of room?
Yeah, we were lucky enough to have a spin bike put in our rooms. We've got a few TheraBands and a bit of equipment that we kind of make do, but we jump on Zoom and someone's running a bike class or a yoga session or Pilates. And yeah, I think, like you said, it is kind of to prevent boredom, but also not stiffen up too much before we get back out on court. It's been interesting.
Now, you can get Melrose Place on Amazon Prime. So if you're in lockdown, you just binge watch it. First two series.
Yeah, I do.
Seriously, I'm
being, I do need a
serious.
New series. All right. Stan, was it?
No, Amazon Prime.
Amazon, sorry, okay.
No, seriously, it's worth it.
All right, no, beautiful.
First two series, right. It gets a bit silly after that.
I'm not sure.
I think I'd be disappointed, Lizzie, if you don't like it. Anyway, it's been a long time since you've played for Australia. I think it's nearly sort of a year, pretty much, on the day. New coach, I mean, you must be so excited to get out there and wear the colours again.
Yeah, absolutely. And we met Stacey. We had a camp back in Noosa last year after our season, which was great. New coach, we had a new squad. We didn't really have any staff members there as well, obviously with quarantine and travel, it was quite limited. So I think everyone is just excited. There could be potentially 7 debutants, I think, or even more across this series. We've got that many new faces. So that brings so much excitement to a group. They're all eager to get out there, and I think that gives you, I guess, more experience or older players, whatever you want to call us, a bit of fresh air going into this series.
It's kind of always been the way with the Diamonds that you play your matches out of season, so it kind of means you've got to be fit sort of 12 months of the year. I mean, how do you do that? How do you sort of focus on, okay, it might still be months away until we're playing Super Netball, but we've got to get ourselves ready to play for our country?
Yeah, it was a bit tricky, I would say, for this series in particular. We were meant to be going away in January, but obviously with the borders and everything, it kind of kept getting pushed back and, you know, we're finally able to get here. So by the time we finished our season, we had a few weeks off and then we're kind of back on court training. We all kind of keep fit and go to the gym regularly anyway, but it's probably more the netball side of stuff that we started earlier than we usually would. Our domestic season back home doesn't start until May, so we do have lots of time when we get back for a bit more pre-season training. But I think that's just the way it is of being an Australian athlete. You've got to sort of be ready for any time, and in this day and age the call up came really late and we were just on the plane over here and into quarantine.
Well, the squad, you mentioned the squad and obviously the new coach, but how many new players we've got in the squad this time around ready for this series?
I think there's 9 of us. So we've got We've actually travelled with our whole squad. So there's 18 of us here, which is rare. We actually never really travel with everyone. So the whole squad's here, and then 12 players will be picked for each match. So everyone's eligible for selection there. So, yeah, there could be lots of debutants in this series.
So do you know what to expect? I mean, as Whitey said, it's been a year since you've been in the colours, let alone playing under a new coach with a relatively new squad from that feedback. Then do you know what to expect? Have you seen enough on the court in your limited preparation time to suggest that it's going to go swimmingly, or are there a few clunks that you've got to sort of iron out the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we did have a three-day camp in Sydney before we came over here, so we were able to get on court then and start building, I guess, our connections and our team play. And we've all come in really fit and strong. We've all been getting ready in our pre-season, but it's more just that connections with each other, learning how each other play. We've got another session today, two sessions actually on court, and then a bit of match play in the next couple of days. So I think it obviously is a bit pushed for time with how much time we get together on court, but we've just got to kind of make it happen, make it work, and that's what we're aiming for.
And there's a leadership rotation, like the fast bowler rotation in Australian cricket. We've got a leadership rotation policy under Stacey Marinkovic. Are they auditions for the captaincy roles and leadership roles, or is it just Stacey just trying to work out who's who in the zoo?
I think it's for the whole. I think it's for the whole group to kind of get to know each other. We can't really, you know, come in and nominate our captain and vice captain. We haven't really spent any time together, so I think it's smart. This series, everyone's been taking responsibility and showing their own leadership, and then we've had chats about what we want our leadership to look like. So hopefully by the end of the year in our next series, we've really consolidated that position if we decide, or group, whatever it may be. But I think it's just the nature of the new squad, lack of time together, and actually having the ability to spend that time together.
Now, in about 20 minutes' time, we've got Sherelle coming into the studio, and she's very, very disappointed she can't be there with you as now part of the coaching pack there of the Australian Diamonds with Stacey and Michelle Dendecker. Is Michelle over there with Stace, or are you running really lean from a coaching perspective?
No, we do have Michelle here, and Shazzy jumps in on Zoom quite often, so they're definitely around.
She says that she's going to have a significant impact on things very quickly, Cheryl. Is that true?
Well, she does have three potential debutante shooters, yes. So she has to make an impact very quickly. Yep.
Just back on Stacey, Lizzie, I mean, obviously, seems quite some time ago she was named as coach, and now she gets a chance to actually coach the team in a game. Do you get a sense that things are going to be different with the way that she goes about it, the game style, that sort of thing, or do you think she'll ease herself into it?
In the chats we've had around game plan and the way we want to play, it's not too different. We don't want to sort of reinvent the wheel completely. We've had such great success. We are still currently world number one, so we've got to keep reminding ourselves that we are a quality team and we don't need to change everything. So there are a few tweaks just with the personnel that's come in with the new players that we have. Stacey's really big on playing to our strengths and building a game plan around the players that she has. So we've got a few new faces in terms of staff as well. So a new PA, which does all our analysis and stats, which gives a different angle and view, which is great as well to be able to keep learning. But we are obviously watching lots of the way that the Ferns play, but not worrying too much about their game and actually having the trust of our game and, you know, what they need to beat us kind of mentality.
Well, do you know what they're going to put out? I mean, what they've got coming for you for the next couple of games?
Yeah, they just announced their team today, I think, and they've had a few more test matches than us. They played England late last year, I think, and they've had a few practice matches. So we've been able to watch that footage. So we've seen them at their most recent. So I think that's the most we can do right now is understand their players. We've all played, I guess, either against them or know most of them from watching international netball growing up. So there's not too many new faces in their group.
Who's the player, your teammate in quarantine that's not coping the best, the most at the moment? Who's the one that really needs to get outside and just start punching some walls or something? I'm thinking Joe Weston.
Well, the girls have... Oh, she's busy on her TikTok, so she's okay. She's got that covered. But the girls, some of the girls made a step challenge with our watches, so that gets very competitive. So people are walking up and down their room to reach the 10,000 steps a day to stay in the lead. But funnily enough, half of us actually have little balconies and half of us don't. So I think the ones that don't might be going a little bit more crazy than the ones that do. I know it's a bit mean, but we do get to step out for a little bit of fresh air on our balcony where some just have the window to wind open.
Oh, that is not cool, the window winders.
So the leaders have the balconies and the young players have the no fresh air factor.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense to me. You've got to earn the right for air. Earn the right for air. And hopefully earn the right to wear the colours. March 2 is the first game. 2, 3, 6 and 7 of March are the four games for the Constellation Cup Series in New Zealand. Looking forward to seeing you girls in action. Lizzie, good luck in the preparations. Don't get too bored. And if you need to Melrose Place yourself, do your best.
We'll ring Lizzie back next week and see what she thought of the first two series.
Yeah, I'll finish it by then. That's how bored I am. Don't worry.
Good stuff. Go get it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Melbourne Storm getting ready this week for a trial game. Melbourne Storm. For a trial game against Newcastle, practice match this weekend. So the NRL season just around the corner. And Ryan Hoffman is an assistant with the Melbourne Storm. He joins us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Hoff.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us. Game against Newcastle coming up this weekend. Now, you've had to work out whether or not you're going to be interstate. You got a chance to stay with the whole COVID situation. Has it been a settled preparation for this season?
It was looking really settled until Newcastle didn't want to come to play us in Casey. So we had to relocate to Albury, which was a late little change. But, look, it's good for us to give back to the people of Albury who were so great to us when we had to relocate there for a couple of weeks last year.
And I'm going straight to the big story. Is Cameron Smith going to play for the Melbourne Storm ever again?
Well, he's not named this week, and I can't see him coming before round one, so no, I don't know if ever again, but I can't see him playing for us round one.
Is it strange, Ryan, not just the Cameron situation, but even with Craig Bellamy sort of weighing up what he's doing. How is an assistant coach and a senior member of the Melbourne Storm, you've been there a long time, how do you keep that from being a distraction?
Because we've been through it all before.
That's true.
We've had speculation. Every time Billy comes off contract, we get speculation that he's going and this club's throwing however much money, blah, blah, blah. We've had it all before. And in the end, all it is at the moment is speculation. Like, there's nothing definite. There's speculation that Billy's gone. He could stay. Smithy, you don't know. So, look, we just deal with what the reality is. And the reality is that Craig is with us this year, and at the moment, Smithy isn't with us. So we've got a very capable sort of number nine in there. Right now, and Harry Grant, he's not Cameron Smith, but we know he's going to do the job for the Melbourne Storm the best he can, and that's all we can expect.
Not only do you not have Cam, but Harry Grant takes that role, but you need a new captaincy situation, new leadership set up because of Cam's absence. And you've gone with a co-captain combination, Jesse Bromwich and Dale Finucane, who both players who I reckon Storm fans would have been watching the last couple of years. These are real heart and soul sort of nuts and bolts players for the Melbourne Storm. Is that a fair assessment? I mean, they are so critical to the way things operate, but really look like stand-up members of the community.
They certainly are. They certainly are. I mean, it was pretty much a no-brainer. We couldn't split the two because both of them had some fantastic leadership qualities. Dale's been an integral part of the club for 6 years. Jesse's been an integral part of the club for 11 years. So they've all seen what success looks like at this club, and they've had a pretty good mentorship under Smithy. They're going to do a great job as leaders. I think they offset each other really well, and it's a great structure that's going to put us in good stead.
Well, Ryan, they've worked together as joint vice captains for the past couple of years, so they obviously do have that good working relationship. Are they quite different in how they'll approach the captaincy and the leadership?
You're right, Cheryl. We had yeah, we had this in place for the last couple of years, nominating these two as vice captains, knowing that eventually we'll take over as captain. Look, I don't think they're different in how they play. They both, you know, the difference between their best game and their worst game is very minimal, which is exactly what you want to see from your leaders. You want that consistency. I'd probably say Dale's a bit more vocal than Jesse, but Jesse's also the type of bloke that all he has to do is give you a look, and you know you need to pull your socks up and do the right thing. So as I said, they're going to offset each other really well.
Ryan, we spoke just briefly before about Craig Bellamy, and I'm not, you know, going to try to go down that path too much in terms of what he's doing. I'm interested in your relationship with him and what he's like with his assistant coaches, what you get out of him. Is he a head coach that really does bring you along, or is his focus more the athletes? How does that work for you from your perspective?
Look, Craig's all about enabling and empowering, whether it's players, coaches, or anything. He looks to empower them to get the best out of themselves. He's really good at listening and finding out what works well for each individual, whether it's a player or a coach, how they're going to get the best out of themselves. And I think with the way he enables people to achieve their best, by number one, listening to what makes them tick, but also giving them the right tools to be able to succeed.
And Ryan, we often talk on this program about culture and about sort of leadership and these sorts of things. Now, you've had these massive names at the club for such a long time, and now it's very much the next generation coming through. Are you confident that the culture that is famous at the Melbourne Storm has been passed on, and that magic can continue?
Oh, look, I think so. I think the fact that, under Craig, we've been building this culture for 18, 19 years. When you have something that's, it's now ingrained in the joint, you know, it's in the walls, it's in the ceiling, you know what I mean? It's just ingrained in it. And I think the fact that it's not complicated, and I think everyone thinks that the magic bullet or something that creates a bit of a culture, but for us, it's quite simple. It's accountability and hard work. And we've had the benefit of having a lot of people come before us, even myself. Like when I was playing, I had Robbie Kearns, Matt Guy, Stephen Kearney. That was setting the culture for me, and it's just flowed down through the years. So it really is ingrained in the joint. The culture isn't the Melbourne Storm. The Melbourne Storm is the culture.
Interesting tack. Good statement.
Yeah, so I agree with you. So on that, like when I ask that question, when others ask the question, do you kind of roll your eyes a little bit and say, oh, it's overplayed, it's this and that, or is it one of those things that you are genuinely proud of what you've got, but because it's ingrained in you, you don't necessarily talk about it, it just happens?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, we are very proud of it. We are extremely proud of it. And I think the moment you don't be proud of it, you take it for granted. So yep. We're proud of what we created, but it also means that we're very protective of it. And we ensure that the people that we bring into the joint are going to buy into that culture, because, you know, we don't want, you know, the rotten apples for the whole bunch. So we're quite strong on that. But as I say, if people come to me and say, why is Melbourne Storm so good? Why is their culture so good? And you really want to give them a very complicated magic sort of answer. But in all honesty, it just comes down to being accountable for your actions on and off the field and working hard.
No magic banana required. Now, you've named 12 of the 17, 12 members of the 2020 Premiership team in the 17-man squad to take on Newcastle this week in Albury on Saturday. I'm interested in one young fellow who hasn't yet to debut in the NRL, but there's a hole down the right-hand side, the right wing, left by Siliasi Vunivalu, and youngster Dean Eremiah is given first crack at that. Tell us a bit about Dean.
Yeah, look, Dean's a great little story, actually. He's a Victorian kid, born and raised. He's come through all our junior systems. It's great to see a kid like that. And to be quite honest, Dean is just one of those blokes that just competes in every single session. And, his standing in the club has certainly risen over the pre-season. This is also a bloke that played no footy last year. He didn't get a chance to play the game or preserves. Games being cancelled. So for him to carry on the hard training that he did in the bubble last year throughout the off-season and through the pre-season and show the consistency in his performance. He's certainly been rewarded with the first crack at the right wing. That's not to say it's definitely his for round one. We've still got the competition with George Jennings and Isaac Lumi-Lumi. But it's just great to see a kid come out of nowhere and be rewarded for hard work and you know, that competitiveness, which Craig absolutely loves.
Are you fully wound up?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, it's been a long pre-season. It's been a long sort of year. So, you know, let's get out there and start hitting people in anger.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea, I reckon. Makes sense to me. Hoff, great to chat to you as always on the program. You're very generous with your time with us. We appreciate it. Good luck with the start of the season. Of course, the game on the weekend as well.
No worries, guys. Pleasure.
Jack Rewalt doesn't know what we're talking about with the magic banana, but I'm sure there's been something along the way that they've held on to and used as a sign of strength and solidarity throughout his three premiership campaigns. The Richmond Star joins us. Good morning, Jack.
Hello, everyone. How are we?
We are very well. How are you?
Actually, I'm going really good at the moment. Yeah, really good. Making my way into training, getting ready for first scratchy on Friday. Out of Casey Fields playing the D's out there, so starting to get some sort of in-season normality back in Melbourne sort of set up. So it's been a long time coming. I haven't played footy here for a long time, and I'm very excited to be playing football back in Melbourne.
We just spoke to Ryan Hoffman about time to hit some bodies in anger. Is it time to start playing someone else other than yourselves? Are you ready for that moment?
Yes. It's... can become a bit incestual, just constantly training against yourself, and everyone knows what everyone else is doing structure-wise and whatnot. So to have that, I suppose, a fresh team to play against who will provide us, obviously, with something different to look at for us to play against, but us, the trials and stuff that we've been working on is really exciting.
It's on the screen here, Jack. Richmond going for four premierships in 5 years. It's quite remarkable just when you see it on the screen. When I say that to you, what does it make you feel?
I think wide range of emotions. What it sort of brings up a lot of memories. You also sort of pinch yourself every time you sort of talk about. Premierships, just winning one's obviously a fantastic achievement, but what we've done over the last 4 years to win three and have even the year that we didn't win it, we had a really successful year. We just the things didn't go our way late in the season. So it is very humbling, but it also stokes fire, I think, in terms of the hunger of knowing what it's like at the top and knowing what it's like to achieve the ultimate success in your sport and to know what know how that feels to want to repeat it and recreate it and get back to the promised land.
Yeah, because that was kind of going to be my next question. What do you do? Do you do it differently to keep the edge, or do you go, well, you know what, we actually know what we need to do to win it. We've just got to do it again and maybe just do the same thing a little bit better. What's the sort of the theme, the feeling going into this year?
I think it's probably a combination of everything, really, Whitey. It's learned acquisition. So we know that what we do is good. We know that our brand stands up in the big game. So there's no point going away from that. It's a tried and true formula for us. But we have to evolve and. Usually, the football that you start playing at this part of the season or even early on the first or sixth round looks nothing like the football that you're going to play at the end of the year. As the team is probably the same as well, there's faces that come and go. And that's the beauty of the 22-game season is that you're constantly evolving and constantly getting better. And clearly, with a few rule changes this year, there's going to be some trends in football that we haven't seen for a while. So we've got to try and remain on the forefront of that. But just stoking the fire within is there's obviously a team aspect of it, but the individual aspect of not being satisfied, being proud of your performance is probably the one thing that's keeping us on the forefront of hopefully staying right at the top of the ladder and fighting for the premiership in season 2021.
Jack, it's interesting. You've spoken a couple of times about, you know, lighting that fire again to push on again. I would have thought at the end of your career, if you look back on it and you've won three premierships in 4 years, you could be really proud of that. And I'm really interested in the mindset of going, but we want one more. How do you light that fire? How do you make sure that that is something that this group really wants to continue to push for when you kind of know that three premierships in a career is pretty bloody good?
Yeah, sure. It's an interesting topic because it's sort of like if my career finished today, as well as say some of the guys that have been involved in all three, that you'd walk away and say, "Yep, thank you so much." And you ask the question, let's say 5 years ago, to the whole group, say, "Hey, you're going to win the three premierships in the next 4 or 5 years." Everyone will go, "Yep, beauty. That's it. That's great." But there's something about just coming in and look, the premiership's obviously the one thing that every team plays for, but the focus is so much on just creating memories and creating enjoyment. We've got some new kids in this year, and we've got some guys that haven't played in any of the 3 years that have been as big a part as the players that have played in it. So I remember thinking in 2019 there were six guys that hadn't played in a premiership before, and there was a real focus individually from a few of the leaders that we wanted to do it for them to achieve the success. And then last year, Noah Bolter was the only guy that hadn't played in one. So I suppose sanitised it sound, it's still our job. So we want to be the best at our job as possible. And the new year rolls around and brings new challenges. So it sort of just becomes a new journey for all of us.
And how's your body and mind, Jack, going into this season?
Yeah, my body-wise, I'm in great condition at the moment. I think just a little bit of extended break and just some, I suppose, time training by myself I really enjoyed. And not so much training by myself, but actually going out and training with my mates, and went back to Tassie and did some good physical exercise down there with some people I haven't seen for a long time. Sort of just reinvigorated me a little bit. And mentally, I feel like I'm in a great spot just for the fact that I'm enjoying footy. I'm loving coming into training. It's giving me a bit of a new lease on life, not being here in Melbourne last year and missing what has been, I suppose, those first 13 years of my career, just playing in front of big crowds. And I've really missed it, and I'm looking forward to just getting back into hopefully some sort of normality in football at the G and everything that comes with football and winter in Melbourne. So super excited. Just I love seeing the growth in our side, and I can't wait for the season to start and for even Friday to roll around and get back into footy.
You mentioned injection of new players and younger players and the fact that there's always someone that pops up every year and has a huge influence on the team. It was Noah Bolter last year, as you said. Who do you think, we forecast a little bit in front of you, who do you think it might be for 2021 for the Tigers?
Look, I think the coach has been really, really hot on Riley Collier-Dawkins, and he's been an assistant now for 2 years, a bigger body mid that, just due to the fact that we've got some fairly good midfielders. He can't find himself a spot in the side. So no doubt he will see his face at some point this year. And he's a really exciting prospect for us. Young kid, Hugo Rouse-Smith, whose father played for Hawthorn, in a similar mould. He's sort of been around for a couple of years. But athletically, as gifted as I've seen it, and has taken some really big steps forward. I'm really excited about what he brings. And the last one, I think, is young Ryan Mansell, who's just come onto the list as a rookie via the SANFL and played some footy and is from North Launceston. So selfishly, I want to see a Tasmanian in the side, another Tasmanian in the side. And he's a sort of hardened half-back. With a bit of polish and tough, like, sort of reminds me a little bit of Steve Morris with the way he attacks the ball and just attacks the man. So he's another young guy that we're hoping will come forward and play for footy this year.
Do you feel greedy and like you're rubbing everyone else's nose in it by trying to unfurl two flags?
Well, so we've actually got three to unfurl. The VFL won the flag in 2019. I sort of say that with a bit of tongue-in-cheek, but in terms of the importance of our development program, with that premiership that we did win in the VFL and famously Marlon Pickle was involved in both of them in 2019, is I say as important, but it is so important to the future of our football club, and we're reaping the rewards of having such a great program, which was under Craig McRae then, who's now gone on to Hawthorn. So it's vitally important, but it's something that we're really excited about. Our fans, well, the majority of our fans here in Melbourne wouldn't have seen any football last year, let alone going to a live game at the G. And watching the Tigers play, so we're looking forward to giving them the opportunity of celebrating obviously 2019 and 2020. So something that it doesn't come around very often. So no doubt we'll make a bit of a spectacle about it, and certainly reward the players, the fans, the administrators, and everyone that was involved in both those premierships.
And as we let you go, Jack, family life now is sort of a bit more significant with another one. What's the golf situation, please?
So the last time I played golf for Whitey was November at Barnburgle Dunes. I snuck away whilst I went back to Tassie. Hazel, our newest addition, hasn't seen me play golf yet. It hasn't been involved while I've been playing golf. So I've promised a group of budding golfers here at the football club that I'll take them down to the Peninsula Golf Club at some point in the next 2 weeks. So looking forward to dusting off the Callaway sticks and getting out there and having a bash. Fair to say I'll be having a few more than I would be if I was in my prime. So looking forward to it, but also enjoying being the father of two beautiful little girls.
Very nice. And Jack, can I just say also, don't worry too much about the Tigers fans. As a Carlton supporter who has many Tigers fans in my family, my dad, my brother, many of my nieces and nephews, they're okay. They've been celebrating. It's okay.
Well, so Cheryl, if you've got 100,000 members, there's still plenty of seats aboard the Tiki train. So it's
good.
Not too late to swap over and come over to the Tigers.
I'm good. If I haven't done it yet, I'm not doing it now. I do love you, Jack, but I can't do it.
Jack, nice to chat, mate. Good luck to you in the build-up to 2021. And when you get out there on course again, go well.
Thanks, guys.
Yesterday, we learned of the squad that Cricket Australia has picked for the Australian women's cricket team to travel to New Zealand for a T20 and 3 1-day series kicking off on March 28th. The captain of that team is the great Meg Lanning, who joins us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning. How are you?
We are very well, thank you. Great to have you on the program. Looking forward to this tour to see how the girls are going. And there's some exciting young talent that's been injected into this squad. Some fast bowling talent, which I quite like. Tell us a little bit more about who's coming in that you like.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time for the squad with a couple of new players and the return of Taylor Vallance as well, who's been doing quite well for us here in Victoria for the last couple of games. And we've got Darcy Brown, who's a young quick, who sort of swings the ball out from the right-handers, and has got some really good pace as well. And then the other one is Hannah Darlington from New South Wales, who's had an outstanding big bash for the last couple of years. So she's an all-rounder, and it's really exciting to give an opportunity to some younger players.
Yeah, it is great, and great to see some young pace bowling coming through. And Taylor Vallance, as you said, back in is a really exciting addition to the squad as well. And we've talked a bit about this on the show for the last couple of years, that the next evolution perhaps for the game, Meg, is that fast bowling and the quality of that. Is that something you see as well?
Yeah, I think so, and we're starting to see some young players come through bowling with that extra pace, which we probably have been missing for the last few years. So I think Taylor and Darcy do certainly bring that to our squad. And just watching Taylor play in the WNCL in the last couple of weeks, it's nice to have that change of pace in the game where you can bring someone in and something's going to happen. It's mostly good, sometimes it's not, but it's just nice to be able to change the pace of the game, and I think that is going to be really exciting for the women's game moving forward.
So, Meg, just on that, so the airspeed of those girls that are coming through, are they as fast as you faced? And who would be, say, the quickest bowler in Australia, maybe even in world cricket that you faced?
Yeah, I think Taylor's probably the quickest. She's up around that 125 mark, I think, at the moment. So she's obviously missed a lot of cricket over the last little bit. So she, you know, when it's bowling day for her, she's got the biggest smile on her face and runs in very quickly. So, I think she's probably the one. I think Darcy Brown will probably be able to get up there once she has a few years in the gym and strength-wise. She's already shown some great signs. So, it's really exciting. Looking forward to the next few years.
Yeah, so and we've talked to you a fair bit over the journey about you enjoying the extra pace yourself personally. So when you face Taylor, is it something that it gets you jumping around, or is it something make you feel a little bit uncomfortable? Is it something you enjoy? Like, I'm just interested in how you adjust your game to that sort of speed.
Yeah, I think it's all of those things you just mentioned. You certainly got to be concentrating when she's coming into bowl, and it certainly does take a couple of balls to get used to, because it is that extra bit quicker than the other bowlers. So she's got the ability to bowl a really good bouncer as well, which I think is something that perhaps not a lot of bowlers do. So you usually just can plonk yourself on the front foot and expect it to be full. But with Taylor and a few other girls as well, you sort of got to be wary of that shorter ball as well, which I think adds another element to it.
Meg, we've all been watching Elise Perry as well and her rehab and recovery from that hammy. She's been named back in the squad. That must be good news for the group.
Yeah, it's great to have her back. Obviously, she's a world-class player who has worked really hard to get back to full fitness, and we've enjoyed having her here in Victoria for the four games so far. And, I've got no doubt she'll be dominant again once she gets back to, in the Australian colours. So, as I said, she's put in a lot of hard work to get back to where she is, and exciting that she's back in the squad.
Well, the other thing that's exciting, surely, for this squad is that you equaled the most consecutive wins in one-day international cricket history. Equaled Ricky Ponting's 2003 team. You're going to break that record, hopefully, going for that. you're going for breaking. I didn't put that very well. You're aiming to break that record, Meg. Is that something that you even think about, or is that just something for us as we're sitting back here going, oh, that would be a cool record to have?
I think you guys talk about it a lot more than what we do. we obviously can't escape the fact, and I guess it is a good recognition for our group over the last few years to have been so successful over a long period of time. It's not just a year or so, it's actually two or three years. Mm. So I think that's probably the best thing about it. But I doubt we'll speak too much about it, but we go out there to win every game that we can, and it'll be no different when we come up against the Kiwis in that ODI.
So the one-day World Cup has been pushed back to 2022. Early 2022, it's been postponed. You won the T20 World Cup, of course, last year. There hasn't been a lot of cricket in between. You're playing the WNCL series, and it's great to see the Vics going so beautifully, just by the way, Meg. We're all over that. And you and your 90s as well. Just that's been good.
Hitting full tosses straight to square.
Yeah, land. I don't want to talk about that.
No, why would you bring that up, Adam?
Oh, why?
Going there. Is this a chance to let the squad evolve for that World Cup? You're not necessarily picking the best possible squad at the moment, but giving a chance for some evolution?
Oh, I think you've always got to try and find the next players within the squad. And we've been quite established as a team over the last few years. We haven't had a lot of change, but I think it's important to keep adding different elements to the squad and keep that variation, because if you sort of stand still as a team, I think teams will sort of catch up and go past you pretty quick. So that's sort of what we're looking at. And we've been able to do that, I think, within this squad. So, hopefully if they get the opportunity there, they'll be able to show what they've got.
And, Meg, you'll be having to quarantine, obviously, heading over into New Zealand. Have you done that? Are you looking forward to a bit of time alone? How are you going to approach that?
Good question. We did do the quarantine up in Brisbane before the Kiwi series last year. I have heard that the one over in New Zealand is actually not too bad. I think the netball girls are over there at the moment, and the Aussie men actually went through it as well. So from what I've heard, we can get out and train a little bit, and we're looked after pretty well. So I don't do that well sitting still for long periods of time, so I'm certainly going to have to find something to do in that time. But once we get out, I think we're free. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we spoke to Lizzie Watson.
She's going to watch Melrose Place she's in quarantine.
No, don't do that, Meg. I'm sure you've never watched Melrose Place before. Don't do it. But some of the girls, they've got a step challenge. So they're literally cutting laps of their route from the door to the window to the door to the window to try and win that. Everything's a competition in my mind, Meg. So get onto that.
Hey, Meg, before we let you go, I've got to ask you. Oh, now, I'm not a TikTokman, but I am intrigued as to know this beverage that you're all drinking as part of this video.
Yes.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to watch it. Meg plays a starring role up front. What was it?
Oh, dear. Well, I actually haven't seen the original video, but a lot of the other girls have. And we've been talking about reenacting it for a number of months, actually. And, we've just sort of beaten New South Wales for the second time in a couple of days, and they've caused us a lot of pain over the years, actually, beating us a fair few times. So we thought we'd just put it together, and I thought it came out really well, actually.
It did.
So it was a bit of fun. I don't really know what it's all about. I was just, part of the starting it off. But, I think, it's always a bit of fun, and I think the girls enjoyed putting it together.
It's one of those viral type video things that's going on the TikTok people. It's all over the world. Everyone's doing it. But no one's done it better than our girls. Meg starred in that performance
too,
by the
way. Is it a magic drink?
It's not quite magic, like your banana, Sherelle. It's a long story, Meg. We'll tell you one day. Good luck to you and the girls in preparations for the Kiwi Tour. Of course, I think you've got Tassie on Sunday. Have you down there at Belrive in the WNCL?
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Meg Lanning, the captain on the Australian women's cricket team, the Victorian women's cricket team as well. Now, Nathan Chapman is a former AFL superstar for the Brisbane Lions. Brisbane Bears might have been at the time too, a little while. And the Hawks, the Mighty Hawks, these days dominating proceedings, getting young athletes across to the United States as punters in the world of NFL football or American football. And there's been a situation with the COVID pandemic across the globe and the impact it's having on young athletes and their opportunities. We thought he's a good man to talk to about this situation. He joins us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Chappie.
Good morning, Mr. Harford and Mr. White.
Great to have you with us. This came across my desk the other day and I hadn't particularly thought about it, but I'm sure it's something you've been discussing and dealing with from a business perspective, with the number of athletes that you haven't been able to get over to the States due to the travel restrictions and quarantine, and the fact that universities and high schools over in the States sort of happening online as opposed to face-to-face. How big is this problem for young athletes in Australia that through basketball, softball, football, whatever it might be, aren't getting the chance to develop their careers?
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating for them. To sort of go through all the training and have offers to go across there and set yourself up to move across the other side of the world, but then be told, things are put on hold, it can be pretty frustrating for them. So, I can really appreciate and understand, the anxiety that the young men and women are going through at the moment, for sure.
So is it a crucial window for this level generation of athletes, or is it within the healing of time and the whole pandemic and vaccinations and all that sort of stuff, will it not be a long-term problem for a more short-term problem?
I'd say it's more likely to be short-term, and we're really fortunate. So you can go to America at the start of the school year or mid-year. So it's a January or a July situation. Yeah. We were really fortunate that with the 20 guys we sent over that we got ours across. But we were really fortunate to know that they were able to go because they were going to schools that actually offered courses in classroom.
Yep.
And so where a lot of the young men and women are having issues is some of the schools either didn't have the funding to stay open and trying to save costs of and putting some things online. So if the school didn't offer in classroom subjects, then it certainly that's where the drama has happened, and that's where kids and boys and girls have been caught out.
So across the board, Nathan, is it the same for every state in what you can do? Like, are there some states in America where you can get young men and women across, or is it a situation it's a blanket ban, you can't go at the moment?
No, you can, well, you can go as long as you've got your I-20. So it's a, there's some paperwork that you've got to go through. So you enrol in school. The school accepts you. The school then tells you when you need to be in class, and your sporting program also then tells you when we need you to start training. So the academics department will always take precedence over the sporting, so they've got to accept you in the school. And with the international rules being that if they weren't to offer in-classroom subjects, then the sporting team couldn't have you. So, and that's where a lot of the sports got shut down, obviously, through the middle of last year. And they're starting to open up. It's just really luck of the draw whether your school's offering those subjects in class at the moment. And, yeah, with so many different levels of like I said, different sports, we're going to find that a lot of them are closed down, so it's truly unfortunate.
So do you think it'll be a situation that it's just press pause and that nothing too much significantly will change, or are you genuinely worried that people would go, you know what, I don't want to go to America now, I might try something else, I just don't like the vibe of what's going on over there? How do you think it'll play out?
Oh, I think it's a really specific individual issue. If you're at a life stage that you've got to make a choice, I think there'll be some that have other opportunities pop up in the meantime, and then they'll have to make a choice. I would say for, you know, the young men and women who can hold on and readjust a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised if it's, again, the next opportunity is July this year, and if not January. So there's probably a 12-month lag overall in the whole process. But again, you know, they talk about whether it's, you know, vaccines or getting in control of COVID, things will certainly start to get back to normal. But I would say if you can sort of hold on for that 12-month period, if your school's not offering those subjects, then you know, that's the way we're planning for it anyway.
You mentioned before, Chappie, that there's frustration being felt by the athletes, and I'm sure people who are guiding them, like yourself. But is there a level of anxiety and frustration coming from the colleges and the high schools themselves? They seem to have an insatiable appetite for Australian athletes at the moment, and largely due to the programs that people like you have put in place for their development. Are they getting a bit testy and antsy about not having access to the kids?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got speaking to coaches all the time, and they just want to play football and have normality themselves, and they're also for a lot of coaches who travel the country recruiting and get out and see high school footballers to try and recruit them to college, it's been a real, I guess, weird scenario for them. They're after the normality. They like football. It's a real part of their blood and their DNA that they're around it and around it every day. So it's not just the students, it's people's livelihoods and coaches and their jobs. And, there's so much. The scope goes really deep, in fact, you know, who it actually affects. But, you know, right now, from an international student point of view, we can really see that the frustrations are coming out, especially in the basketball world as well.
Yeah. Well, hopefully sooner rather than later they can get access to the kids and they can go and learn their craft to be the athletes that they want to be through the great programs like Pro Kick Australia, where of course you are dominating. Chappie, nice to see you on the weekend. Well done to your girls, and look forward to catching up soon.
Thanks, mate. Damn you, 6 points.
Nathan Chapman, these days doing great work with the AFLW team at Richmond as well, with a bit of feedback on the US.
Do they kick the ball long, Richmond?
Kick big torps.
The Breakfast Club.